जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
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 जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृता आदि लीला चैप्टर 4 हाउ आई कम बैक बैकवर्ड
Okay. One verse.
Yeah. Really? No, in order to put. Okay. Verse 59. Radhikaya hoyena Krishnera pranaya vikara sarup shakti ladini namaya hara. I cannot see. I don't want to. So, Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is the internal energy, gold ladini. That Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotee. Purport by his divine Vishala Sivaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately discussed the Ladini potency in his Priti Sandarbha. He says that the Veda clearly states only devotion and service can lead one to the personality of Godhead. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. The Supreme Personality of God is attracted by devotional service, and as such, the ultimate supremacy of Vedic knowledge rests in knowing the science of devotional service. Supreme Personality of Godhead has three kinds of internal potency, namely the Ladini Shakti or pleasure potency, the Shandini Shakti or existential potency, and the Sambit Shakti or the cognitive potency. In the Vishnu Purana, the Lord is addressed as follows: O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Ladini, Sandini, and Sambit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes, which cause happiness, miseries, and mixtures of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. This is a long purport. Which I wanted was a little bit after. Mahabhava Sarupini Shirada Thakurini Sarvaguna Kani Krishna Kanta Shiromani. Shirada Thakurini is the embodiment of Mahabhava. This is just for you to know. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The unadulterated action of the Ladini Shakti is displayed in the dealings of the damsel of Raj and Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost participant in that transcendental group. The essence of Ladini Shakti is love of Godhead. That means the essence of that energy is love. This is an energy of love. The essence of love of Godhead is bhava, or transcendental sentiment. The essence of that love is a transcendental feeling, which you call bhava. And the highest pitch of that bhava, or sentiment, is called mahabhava, or the topmost feeling. Srimati Radharani is the personified embodiment of these three aspects of transcendental consciousness. She is therefore the highest principle in love of Godhead, and he is the supreme lovable object of Sri Krishna. Om Agnati Mirandasya Yanam Janam Shalato Chakshurud Mirita Nyanatasme Shri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Mano Vittam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Svapadayate Namo Mahavadhanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Ande Goradvishe Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shri Gaurabhati Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Vanshakal Vataruvyasya Kipa Sindhubhyaya Vacha Atitanam Pavane Krishna Vibhyo Namo Mukam Karuti Vachara Pangum Langayate Gidhi Et Kripam Tamaham Shiguru Dinatar. So today is a very auspicious day of Radhastami, of the appearance of Srimati Radharani in this world. And we are extremely fortunate to be seated just at the lotus feet of Radha Govinda, in the beautiful lotus of Goloka, manifested on this Earth planet. And islands of New York, by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yeah. Prabhupada came, and by His unlimited mercy, He brought down Radha and Krishna to this world, which was considered impious land before. And Radha Govinda have appeared, they have manifested their service, they have manifested their darshan. Okay, I'll try to speak louder. They have manifested their darshan for everybody to take shelter of them and to be able to meet them. So we are seated at their lotus feet. We should never remember that the deity form are directly Radha and Krishna. So when we enter into the temple, actually, it's like entering into the spiritual world. Because the deities, they are at the same time in this world as well as in the spiritual world. They are situated in both the worlds. So when we come in contact with them, it's like we are entering the spiritual world also. We are arriving at the doorway of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is here. We are coming inside. Although we cannot yet see, we are not fully inside, but we are already inside at a certain level. So we celebrate the appearance of Radharani as she is the embodiment of the Ladini Shakti, or Prabhupada explained here, the action of that Ladini Shakti is manifested in the dealings of the Damsel of Raj and Srimati Radharani. So the Ladini Shakti takes a form. And that form, I mean, takes many forms. All the damsel of Raj and Srimati Radharani, who is the most participant in that transcendental group. So she is the embodiment of love. And from her emanates different other embodiments of love. Like prolongation, they are like prolongation of her bodily form. And actually they embody some of her different particular feelings. Oh. First she manifests herself in 8 gopis, who are expansion of 8 of the main feelings of Srimati Radhani: Adita, Vishakha, Chitra Devi, Indulika, Champakarata, Ranga Devi, Tungavidya, Sudevi. Each one of them is the embodiment of one of the 8 main feelings of Srimati Radhani. So this is a transcendental group. They are all form of pure love. It's difficult for us to understand what is that form of pure love. Because in our experience in this world, love has no form. No? It's just a feeling. No? Some feeling that we feel in our heart sometimes. And even what we feel in our heart is not really love. It's adulterated love. But in the spiritual dimension, feelings have form. So Radharani, we could say, is a feeling. She is the topmost feeling of love. She is love incarnated. If love has a form, that form is the form of Srimati Radhika, pure love. And then it is explained that actually the essence of love of Godhead is bhava, or sentiment, which is the spiritual sentiment. The spiritual sentiment can only appear in direct contact with the Supreme Lord, when one comes face to face to Krishna. That experience to meet the Supreme Absolute Truth in His most beautiful feather, in His unlimited beauty, will awaken a feeling in the heart. And that feeling is called transcendental sentiment. Without meeting Krishna, we cannot know what is this feeling. Pure love. It requires connection with the object of love for this love to really appear. And the highest pitch of that sentiment is called Mahabhav. Srimati Radhani is the embodiment of this Mahabhav. Mahabhav Swarupini. She is the Swarup of this pure love. So we have to understand, we have a long and complicated philosophy, but all this philosophy has a goal. All this philosophy has a goal, to lead us to understand what is the essence of the truth. We will not be able to assimilate the entire spiritual philosophy in our life, because there are a lot of details. So Mahaprabhu told us we have to know the main principles, which is Sambandha, Avideya and Prayoja. Sambandha is who we are, what is this world, and what is the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth. And what is the interrelation between these three things. Abhideya is understanding this now, how to act. If we understand this knowledge, how we should act in order to attain the supreme goal of life. And Prayojana is the supreme goal of life. So we have to understand clearly what is the supreme goal of life and how to attain it and where we are right now. Where we are right now, what is the supreme goal of life and how to attain it. How to go from where we are to that goal. This is some basic understanding. Beside of that, there are also many, many, many other things, but they are less important. The most important is what you call bhakti yoga, or how to attain the topmost goal. Like if you are desiring to go somewhere, first you have to know where you are. Second, you have to know where you want to go. Like in Google, you know, you put your
GPS.
Yeah, you put on your GPS, you have to put where I am. And you have to know precisely, you know, where you are, exactly where you are. Then you have to put where you want to go. That must be also very precise. And then the machine will calculate the itinerary. So in the same way, we are lost in the material world. No? We have to know first very well where we are. So we have to understand this philosophy, Sambandhagya, who is Krishna, who we are, what is this world. This is in the Bhagavad Gita, giving introduction in the Bhagavatam also. Then we have to understand where should we aspire to go. What are we meant for? What is our real nature? When we understand this basic knowledge, we understand that our nature is not to live in this world. We are in the wrong place. Because we are spiritual. We are made to be eternal, full of knowledge and love. But this is not the case right now. I mean, this is the case, but we are not experiencing it. Because we are covered by a temporary body, full of ignorance and suffering. The opposite. So we feel, how is it? I am supposed to be eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, but I am experiencing the opposite. I am experiencing that my body is temporary, full of ignorance. I don't know nothing. I am like in a dark night. And I am not experiencing love. I am experiencing suffering every day. So how is it possible? Because we are in the wrong place. We should not be in that place. So how can we attain the place where we can be who we are meant to be, who we really are? This is Prayojana. First you have to know about that place. And then it will be explained to you how to go there. So in the spiritual life, from the very beginning, it's very important to understand what is the goal. Otherwise we will be practicing, but if you practice and you don't know where is the goal, it's like driving the car without knowing where you want to go. You may drive endlessly. You will see many things, many streets, many houses, many countryside, you know, landscape. But you never reach anywhere because you don't know where you are. And you may even turn in circle. If you don't know, you may end up turning in circle. Like the fish in the bowl, you know. You know this red fish?
Goldfish?
Goldfish?
Yeah.
The goldfish has one special capacity, special characteristic, you know. His memory is so short, you know that? That when he swims from one side of the bowl to the other, he forgot that he already came here. And he said, oh, what is that? Oh, that's new. And then he turned back and goes in the other cell and say, oh, what is that? Oh, that's new. His memory is so short, he cannot remember while swimming from one side to the other that he already has been 10,000 times around this boat. He cannot, because his memory is so short. So this is more or less our condition in this world. We are like goldfish, you know. This is called ignorance, full of ignorance. And we are just swimming from one part or the other part to the small boat, not understanding what we are doing here. Such a dull consciousness. But we have to understand how we should develop, and what is the supreme goal of life. The supreme goal of life is love and nothing else. Pure love. We are meant to experience pure love. We are meant to experience exchanges of pure love with the unlimited reservoir of beauty, that is Krishna. This is our nature, and this is much more unlimitedly more beautiful than what we are living now, because Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly compassionate, unlimitedly, how to say, kind, sweet. So just to meet such a person is the topmost experience that we can have. Can you imagine meeting someone whose beauty is unlimited and whose kindness is unlimited, whose love is unlimited, whose compassion is unlimited, all this at the same time? You cannot survive to that experience. It's too much beauty. You don't have the capacity to handle too much beauty, actually. No? But we are meant for this. And that person, Krishna, eternally actually divides himself in two bodies. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikati Radhini Shakti Ekat Manadapi Bhuvipur Dehabedam Gatatau. This one soul, which is Krishna, the supreme soul, no? Transcendental Atma, divides himself in two bodies in order to enhance that experience. He appears in the form of Radha and Krishna. So we have to understand Radha is Krishna. She is Krishna. She is the second body of Krishna. She is the, or Prabhupada said, she is the feminine form of Krishna. But she is nothing that Krishna. She is actually pure love for Krishna. But that pure love is no different from Krishna, because he is the source of everything. So he takes these two shapes in order to experience himself, in order to experience unlimited love. He is the object of love, and she is the recipient of that love. But because love is two-sided, she is also the object of his love, and he is the recipient of his love for her. Yet they are the same person, manifested in two bodies. When they combine together, they appear as Lord Chaitanya. When they divide themselves, they appear as Radha and Krishna. Mm-hmm. But this is the same person. And in order to attain that reality, we have to take shelter of that divine energy of love, who is Srimati Radha, Atmanastumam Partha, Devi Prakritim Ashutam. So this day of Radha Swami, and actually every day, our main practice, or sambandha, in order to reach that goal, is to take shelter of the divine energy, of the divine energy of love. We take shelter of that embodiment of the topmost feeling of love existing. Because the supreme goal of life is actually to serve that person. This is explained. The ultimate thing, ultimate experience that we can attain is to meet this personality face to face, darshana, and to live with him or with them eternally, engaged in their service. This is the supreme experience of happiness, because when you meet, how to say, unlimited happiness, you become also unlimitedly happy. Mm. No? Yeah. When you meet an unlimited love, you become full of unlimited love also. This is included in the experience. So, to attain their service, or as we say, to attain the service of their lotus feet. This is the supreme experience. Then we can remain forever with them. It will not be boring, because they are new at every second. They are more beautiful at every second. So it's always increasing experience. You know? Like in this world, we have some kind of experience. I like ice cream, you know?
Yeah.
Vanilla ice cream. When you are a child, the more you eat, the more it's nice, no? You eat and you want more. And you eat and you eat, and every
bite
you take, you feel, oh, I want more, no?
Yeah.
I mean, that was my experience when I was young. Ice cream, I cannot stop. I always finish the entire pot.
Oh my God.
Entire pot, big pot like this, square. But because this is the material world, there is limit also. After some time, the belly is limited, and even after some time, the taste also will go. But there, in the spiritual world, there is no limit. And the experience, the intensity is much more wide and beautiful than the intensity of tasting ice cream. Tasting ice cream is like nothing, insignificant. But tasting love, this is something tremendous. So what is love? She is the embodiment of love, no? This is what, of the purest feeling of love. What is love? Love is the feeling of offering oneself entirely. This is what is love. Love means giving, surrendering and offering oneself entirely, without any calculation, without any expectation. This is love, pure love. She is that person. She personifies that. And if we want to experience that supreme reality, we have to follow in that, in her footsteps, to offer ourselves entirely, unconditionally, uninterruptedly, without any expectation, and fully, impartial, unconditional, and artificial. Nowadays in this world, our love is either partial, or conditional, or artificial. This is not real love. So we have to learn from her what is this Mahabhav, or at least Prema. What is this pure love? This feeling of offering ourselves completely to the supreme object of love, Krishna or Govinda. So why we direct our, why this offering should be directed toward Krishna or Govinda? Because he is the only person that will not. Yeah, that can reciprocate with that. He's the only person that will not exploit us. If you surrender fully to some ordinary person, he will utilize you. No? He will cheat you and he will utilize you. But Krishna is the only person who has no tendency for exploitation. So you can surrender to him completely, he will never utilize you. Because he is living already on that level of love. Not only Krishna, but also Radha and all their associates. To them we can offer ourselves fully. Because they are already themselves established in that feeling of offering themselves fully to whoever they come in contact. No? They have no tendency to take, they have only tendency to give. So to such person we can surrender fully, then a beautiful exchange will appear. You are offering yourself entirely to someone who is offering himself or herself entirely to you. And this is unlimited experience, which is called pranaya vikriti, or pastimes of love. Pastimes of unlimited surrender and offering of oneself completely to the object of our love. You see, it's the topmost embodiment of that. There are different levels in surrender, in sacrifice. There are different levels of intensity, of feeling, and she is the topmost personification. So we have to understand this very clearly before approaching the pastime of Radha and Krishna, before approaching their personality. What is their consciousness? What is their mood? They are forms of love. Mahabhava Swarupini, she is the form of the topmost feeling of love. That means the most beautiful feeling of sacrifice and offering herself. And we should also become embodiment of love by taking shelter of her. By taking shelter of her, she will gradually teach us how to become embodiment of love. By first becoming embodiment of love, of her love, of Krishna's love, for the person of this world. So by preaching, extending their love to humanity at large, you understand?
Yeah.
This love, we will become instrument of their love. Wow. Because we are giving them to the others. Then we become embodiment of that love. This is the power of preaching, because preaching is just giving. You don't expect nothing when you're preaching, otherwise you're not a preacher. Otherwise you would use him, religion and God, in order to exploit the people. We should not expect nothing. We should just give in order to... Our only motive is two things. To make that person, that soul happy, and to make Krishna happy by enabling that soul to come in contact with Krishna and enter into that reality of love. And come out from this world of egoistic life, which is the opposite of love, what we call kama. Kama means personal desire. I want for me. No? And when we're living in that consciousness, then the experience is suffering. Because the experience of love or happiness comes by giving to the right recipient. And then if we understand who they are, then after their pastime becomes very, extremely beautiful and sweet. How they manifest eternally, unlimited pastime. Eternally in the spiritual world, the topmost realm is called Goloka or Vraj, and there Radha and Krishna exist in their transcendental form. We cannot even conceive of such beauty, and the beauty of that land also is unlimitedly. So the land of Vraj is composed of three main cities: Nandagram, Varshana, oh no problem, Nandagram, Varshana and Javad. Yes, they are the three main cities. They are the three main cities of Vraj. Javad. Nowadays we have Vrindavan, but Vrindavan was not a city. Vrindavan is a forest, actually. Yeah. It's a forest. By name, by its name, you know, Vrindavan, Vana means forest. But Nandagram, Gram means town. So Nandagram, Javat and Varshana, they are the three towns eternally. Krishna lives in the palace, which is situated on the top of Nandishwar Hill. That palace is called Nanda Bhavan.
Nanda Bhavan.
Bhavan, yes, the order.
House in Nanda.
Yeah, house. Bhavan means house. But in that case, this is more than house. This is palace. Palace of Nanda. The king Nanda. And in, on top of the colline of Varshan, of the hill of Varshan, there is another palace, which is the palace of Rishabhanu Maharaj. And there, in that palace, Radharani is living half of the year. And another half of the year, she is living on the palace of Javat, which is on the top of the hill of Javat. These are three hills. Three hills, three palaces. From each palace you can see the others, like triangle. And so Radharani is living 6 months in Varshana with her parents, 6 months in Javat in her in-law family. And they are manifesting pastimes every day, same schedule. They have a schedule which is called Astakaliya Lila, divided in 8 periods of the day. Each period lasts for 2 hours and 24 minutes. Except the midnight period and the noon period, who are double one time. So 4 hours, 48. Because if you multiply 2 hours 24 minutes by 10, this will give you 24 hours. There is 10 division like this. You can like visualize like a lotus with 10 petals. Yeah. We are divided by 12 hours, no? But in spiritual world is divided by 10. Mm-hmm. The 24 hours are divided in 10 portion. And of 2 hours and 24 minutes. And actually, the noon will last 2 periods, and the midnight will last also 2 periods. So that means actually 8 periods. Let's say a lotus with 2 big petals and 6 small petals. You can see, this is the transcendental alarm clock of
Vrindavan, something like that. It starts, everything starts in the morning at 3:36. At 3:36, Radha and Krishna, they awaken in the forest of Vrindavan, Madhuvan. And this is why we are doing Mangalarati. Actually, Pujari, normally they enter the altar in at 3:30. So starting at 3:30. Because in spiritual world, it starts at 3:30. Radha and Krishna awaken in the forest. Then after they go back to their respective home, both of them
separate,
leave each other, and Krishna is going back to Nandagram, Radhan is going back to Varshana. They'll take rest for a short nap, respectively in their own house, in their own apartment, and at 6 o'clock, again they are awakened. And then they are bathed and dressed by their servant. Then at 7 o'clock, Radhani will travel from Java to Nandagram in order to cook to Krishna, for Krishna. Because she received a boon from Durvasa Muni that whatever she will cook will taste like nectar, and whoever will eat that food will live a long life. So when Mother Yashoda is the mother of Krishna. She is also a transcendental a personality. She is embodiment of transcendental love with the feeling of what we call Vatsalya, a parental feeling of love. She is also unlimited in her love. Very incredible person. Rupa Goswami said that she has the complexion of a blue lotus.
Blue lotus?
Yeah, like Krishna. Shivara Maharaj explained because she was carrying Krishna for so many months in her womb since she became the same color as Krishna.
What about before Krishna?
I don't know. She is the same color as Krishna, and she is as much beautiful as Krishna. So much so that the pure devotee, when they see Mother Yashoda, they feel the same unlimited happiness that when they see Krishna.
So she's like blue sapphire.
Yeah, blue lotus. This is called Neela Kamala. Because she was carrying Krishna in her womb. So this is Mother Yashoda. So she asked Radharani to come every morning for cooking. No? And Radharani does awaken at 6 o'clock in her room, and she has some maidservants. Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Vilas Manjari, Abhanga Manjari, Asa Manjari, Kuna Manjari, Kasturi Manjari, Manju Lali Manjari. And Vilas Manjari.
And Kasturi Manjari.
Mani Manjari. Yeah?
Is that Kasturi Manjari?
What?
Is that Bhakti Manjari?
Kasturi Manjari is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So these are the very close maidservant of Radhani. When Radhani will awaken in the morning, they will take care of her. They will first give her some water to wash her face and mouth. Radhani, first she washes her mouth, her face with that water, then mouth. Then she's spitting that water into another recipient. You have to understand, everything is pure love. Huh? She's the embodiment of pure love, awakening from her slumber, slight slumber, short slumber. Her eyes are still a little bit, what is it, drowsy?
Drowsy.
Drowsy? A bit like Mozart when he's awakening from his nap, you know. But he is doing a long nap, you know, 2 hour nap. He's trying to look at me, but he cannot see who is this devotee. Which is awakening with Drodhi high, like this. And the Manjari, they come, they bring some scented water. This is not normal water, this is pure nectar. This water is also pure love and perfume. So she takes, she will wash her face, then rinse her mouth. Then they will, from a pitcher, they will put some water. That water will fall into her hands, you know. She will wash her hands, but because there is some kumkum in her hand, after washing her hands, the water becomes red. This water is pure nectar. So then they are basing Radharani, dressing Radharani, ornamenting Radharani, decorating her body with pearl necklaces, jewels, garlands, flowers. Up to 7 o'clock. They have 1 hour. At 7 o'clock they have to leave. Then they leave. So one gopi is coming from Nandagram. She was sent by Mother Yashoda to make sure that Radharani will come. Even though she's coming every day, still every day, and even though that this was already scheduled and how to say, accepted that she will come every day, nevertheless, Mother Yashoda, every day she will send one gopi to make sure and to remember Radharani, you have to come by this time. So when the gopi will come, she will say to Jatila, the mother-in-law of Radharani, Mother Yashoda wants Radharani to come to Kuru. And Jatila, she doesn't want really, because she's thinking, she's married already, how she can go in that house where there is one young boy, you know, unmarried. Very attractive young boy, that's not good. But also, she remembers that Purnamasi, who is the guru of Raj, in the form of the elderly lady of Raj, she told to Jatila that she should never, not follow what Yashoda requests.
Oh.
So she said, oh, I have to do, because Purnamasi told me I have always to follow Yashoda's request. So she said to Radharani, okay, you can go, don't fear. The Supreme Lord will protect you if that young boy try to harm you. The Supreme Lord will be there to protect you.
What about this?
Huh?
Jatila said
that. Yeah.
Jatila said that.
Jatila said that. And that gopi who came also, she said, no problem, I will be here and make sure that nothing happens. And they smile when they hear that. They smile, but very quietly, that Jatila should not see that they are smiling. Then they go on the road. This is one road. Radhani, she is going with all her assistants to cook there. The road is a straight road from Java to Nandagram. They're running fast. The gopis, they are very light. They are very light body, very slender, and they are very swift. When they walk or when they run, this is very swift and very elegant. Because actually they are like flying on the ground. They are like flying. Their feet is barely touching the floor. This is one aspect of the divine personalities, their feet is barely touching the floor, not like us. Like Prabhupada, so many people when they were seeing Prabhupada walking, they were seeing he's gliding. Look like he's gliding. We have one story in France. Prabhupada once went in morning walk from New Mayapur, and it was muddy. Completely muddy, everything was muddy, because around the castle is earth. and Prabhupada walked in the field, and when he came back, so one servant, or one Mataji, I think, she said, oh, I'll take the opportunity to wash Srila Prabhupada's shoes after, when he came. That will be my service. So Prabhupada came into inside, and she went to pick up the shoes, and the shoes were completely clean. Not one drop of mud, whereas the shoes of all devotees were full of mud. Prabhupada's shoes were not very clean.
Prabhupada was living there, and he was walking on his morning walk through all the different, there's like kind of hills and forests there, and this one Mataji says, she's like, she noticed multiple times that when he walked up these things, no one would be able to keep up with him when he walked up the hill, and he would just be like floating up like very, very quickly.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Really,
I heard
just floating up.
I heard another one that Prabhupada was going up the escalator, in the escalator, like, you stand on it and it's going up like that. Eventually it evens out, right? And Prabhupada is going up on the escalator evened out here, and then Prabhupada just kept going up, and then, oh, then he came down. See, I heard it.
That's
like,
my whole story.
That's not my story, I heard it. Like,
anyway, okay, it's nice. It's always nice. So they are like this, flying on the road, then they're arriving into the kitchen of Mother Yaakov. So I want to read you one excerpt from Sivana Maharaj, some pastimes. Prakshalya pada kamali kushalya pravishta nadva vrajesa mahiti pabriti gurustai akurvati rasavati rasabak kadatvam Samajayi Shatitaram Sukhasagare Maam. Auspicious girl. This is Raghunath Das Goswami speaking to Radharani. O talented cook, when, after I wash your lotus feet, will you plunge me into an ocean of bliss as you enter the main kitchen, bow before the Queen of Raj and her associates, and prepare an ambrosial feast for Krishna? She is arriving in Raj. It's interesting. She said, after washing your lotus feet, the kitchen of Mother Yashoda is so clean that even Radharani is washing her feet before entering that kitchen.
Oh.
While her feet are worshipable for the entire universe, she will wash her feet in order to enter the kitchen of the Queen of Raj. Then she would prepare an ambrosial feast. And by seeing this, Raghunath Das Goswami, in his spiritual form as maidservant of Radharani, is there actually in the pastime. And he will plunge into an ocean of bliss by seeing Radharani entering that kitchen. And in the commentary, Sivara Maharaj writing, Radharani looks to see if Rati Manjari is nearby. She is, of course. Just before entering the kitchen, Radha sits as Rati quickly washes Vraja's camphor cool dust from her lotus feet. Because Radha may be feeling unqualified to serve Krishna. As she dries Radha's feet with a soft towel, Rati speaks words of encouragement to her mistress. O Kushala, by your auspicious presence, Mother Yashoda will gain hope that her Krishna, who is a poor eater, will get his appetite back. Radharani says softly, do you think Krishna will like my cooking? Rati replies, how will he be able to resist your cooking, especially because the taste will be mixed with your devotion? Don't worry. Why would Srimati Radharani, Krishna's most exalted and intimate devotee, feel unqualified? She's feeling maybe Krishna will not like what she will cook.
is humble at heart. So Shivaram Maharaj is asking, why Srimati Radharani, who is the most exalted devotee, would she feel unqualified? She naturally feels that way because love and humility are intimately and inseparably linked. The greater the love, the greater the humility. Narada Muni tells Gop Kumar, Paripakena Danyasya Prema Jashram Vitanyate Parasparam Tayoritam Karya Karana Dikshate. When humility, called Danya, fully matures, love unfolds without limit. And so we see humility and love acting in a relationship in which each is both cause and effect. They nourish each other. When humility fully matures, then love unfolds without limit. And vice versa, when love fully matures, humility unfolds without limit. So they are actually intimately and inseparably linked. The greater the love, the greater the humility. So because Radharani, she is the topmost embodiment of love, or she is the embodiment of the highest or purest feeling of love, she is also the embodiment of the most unlimited humility. There is nobody as humble as Radharani. Her humility is beyond description. Moreover, the wise have defined humility as the state in which one thinks oneself exceptionally adequate and fallen, inadequate and fallen, even when endowed with all excellences. Therefore, Radha's supreme and revealed love demands that she feel the greatest inadequacy. For example, she once said to Vishakha, "My friend, unlike I, who am totally unqualified, you are expert and eloquent. For this reason, I request you to speak with Krishna and make him pleased with me." This is a very interesting aspect, that humility and love are connected. So today we are celebrating the appearance in this love, in this world, sorry, of the most unlimited embodiment of humility and love. They are going together. This is why Mahaprabhu told us Trinalpi Sunijin. Because when humility fully matures, then love will unfold. From that humility, Trinalpi, love will unfold. Because they are actually the same thing, love and humility. You understand?
Yeah.
So we have really to make humility our treasure. How much we will dive into humility, that much love will unfold in our heart. Sometimes we think humility and love are two things different, no? Or that humility is some temporary feeling that we have to cultivate in order to reach love. But it's not so. It's an aspect of love, inseparable. As Radharani enters the kitchen, it lights up with her golden splendor. Now Radharani enters the kitchen becomes lighted up with the golden splendor. Maharaj is a poet. Thus Yashoda can't help but notice Radha the moment she arrives. Mother Yashoda joyfully calls out Radha's name, while the young gopi offer their respect to each of the elder ladies. And immediately when she sees Radharani, she called her name. Oh, Radhe. This is pure chanting.
That is pure chanting.
Yashoda Devi pulls Radharani to her bosom, embraces her, smells her head, and kisses her closed eyes, while simultaneously laughing and crying out loud, "Oh my dear, O goddess of beauty and sweetness, once again you are sanctifying my house with your presence. After asking about Radha's welfare, Mother Yashoda greets every other gopi and then takes them all into a small room to fuss over them and feed them sweets.
Wow.
Before they cook, she brings them to one room and she will give them some sweets personally. This is the pastime of Radha and Krishna. And all this pastime manifests like this, unlimitedly, where this is the play of love, actually. Pure and unlimited love and humility will unfold, second after second, minute after minute, and the pastime will become more and more beautiful. The more Radharani will express her love toward Krishna, the more Krishna's love will increase. Then the more Radharani's love will increase. So we have to join into this transcendental reality. We have to. You see how which kind of dealings? This is only love.
Yeah.
There is no envy, no lust, no anger. This is only pure love. Then some excerpt when Radharani is cooking. While moving amongst 2 dozen preparations, she's preparing 2 dozen preparations, that means 24 at the same time. Stirring, spicing and so on, Radha and Rati engage in conversation. Rati talks softly as she helps Radha. Rasavati, this is another name of Radha. I know the secret of your cooking. While stirring 2 pots, Radha casually says, "Then you are a clever girl." Rati continues, "Whatever I know is only by your grace." Radha asks, "And what do you know?" Again Rati replies, "I know that it is not by Durvasa's blessing that you are so empowered. You are self-sufficient. You hardly require a yogi's blessing." Radha raises her eyebrows. "And?" Rati continues, "Your expertise is not in mixing ingredients together over a fire, but in seasoning these dishes with the different taste of paramour love." Wow. When she's cooking, she's putting also her feelings inside. Different preparations, she would put different feelings inside. Because in the spiritual world, you can do that. You can take the feeling of your heart and put it in the pot also. Maybe in this world we cannot, because it would not be good. Radha stops moving about and slowly stirs the soup as she looks deeply into Rati's eyes. Now she's looking in her eye. Raghunath Das Goswami. "Who has told you all this?" With a graceful shrug of her shoulder, Rati said, "The same person who is in your heart and mine."
Oh.
Nodding her head, Radha again busies herself. "What else did that person say?" Rati quips, "That person told me that you are Rasavati because you combine the original rasa into the foods you cook. Krishna mainly tastes that rasa and not the ingredients from which the dishes are made. Understand? It is that rasa which nourishes and sustains him. that feeling of love, this is what gives life to Krishna and sustain him. You understand? Not the ingredients. He doesn't need the ingredients. But Krishna needs the love. In a different way, you serve Krishna the same tastes in the kitchen of Nandagram as you do in the grove of Vraj. In short, the special feature of your cooking is the love you mix with every dish. Radha comments, Yashoda and Rohini also cook with love. Shaking her head slightly, Rati replies, of course they do, but the taste of your love includes the taste of theirs, and more. Radha cuts her off. Shh, don't say such things here. Concentrate on yourselves, because they are wrong. Although Radharani does not want Mother Yashoda to hear that her cooking and love are inferior to Radha's, Rati's statement is not untrue. According to the spiritual science of Melos, the ingredients of parental love are included in amorous love, but surpassed by the additional feature of intimacy. The taste of amorous love is therefore Krishna's favorite. It is the only taste that completely nourishes his divine existential yearnings. Krishna has divine existential yearnings for experiencing love, and particularly the love of Radharani. The opinion of the Vaishnava Acharyas is that this truth is the last word of all scriptures and is contained in the aphorism Raso Vaisa Rasam Yaivayam Labhanandi Bhavati. When one understands the personality of God, the reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, one actually becomes transcendentally blissful. So this is how the pastime of Radha and Krishna unfolds. And it takes different shapes, meeting and separation. Sometimes they are together, sometimes they are separated. But in every case, Radharani is Devi Krishna Mayi Prota, Radhika Paradevata. She is filled, completely filled with Krishna. Inside her heart is only Krishna. This is Krishna Mayi. Krishna Mayi means outside and inside she can see only Krishna. Nothing else. This is why her eyes are blue. The eyes of Radharani are blue, because the eyes are the mirror of the soul. Prabhupada said this many times in the Bhagavatam. No? The eyes are the mirror of the soul. And because the soul of Radharani is only Krishna, then her eyes are blue. Beautiful, no? And Krishna's eyes are golden, because Krishna inside is golden. And Radharani inside her eye, she is blue. You know? Once, Radha and Krishna, they had a meeting. At night, they were supposed to meet in a special grove near the Yamuna River. It was in the dark. And Radharani was waiting, but Krishna doesn't come. This is an aspect of Radha and Krishna's pastime. Krishna likes to make Radharani wait. Sometimes it is the opposite also. No. This is increasing the intensity of pure love. She's waiting, and at some point it becomes nearly the morning is arriving.
Oh.
So she became so disappointed. She said, anyway, I will not meet him, even if he comes. Then she decided, and I don't want to look at him anymore. And whatever is his color, I don't want to see these things anymore. So she removes her blue veil. She has a blue veil, she removed that veil. And she has some blue bracelets also, sapphire bracelets. She removed these bracelets. And everything which is blue in the grove, she will remove. Blue flowers and blue maybe she, everything blue she removes and she throw out. I don't want to see this dark blue color anymore. Sham. Then the mirror is there. So she takes the mirror also because she has blue eyes. So if she looks in the mirror, she will see blue is there. So she discards the mirror also. Then she put all her hairs in knot because she has also dark hair. So she doesn't want to see also her hair anymore. It becomes very sulky mood, you know. She enters in this very transcendental anger against Krishna. This is also a manifestation of pure love. And then she notices one thing more is there. The curtains are dark blue. Because normally she likes dark blue. So when the gopi, they prepare the places, they put many things dark blue, you know, everywhere. So she said to Rati, please remove these curtains also. So she comes nearby the window. This is grove, this is a flower house. Know how they are made? The kunj, normally four trees making the four pillars on the corners, and their branches make a canopy, branches and flower. So this is like, you know, fully decorated with flower, the ceiling, and by the
moonlight.
No, I don't know how, which is coming down from the trees.
The roots.
Lines.
Vines.
Vines are coming down and intertwined by a flower garland, garlands of flower, stringed flowers. This make the walls, and they arrange to make some windows also. I don't know the heart, but there must be some heart. They prepare some flower rooms like this. Can be many rooms, even. It's incredible thing. And she said, please remove the curtains also. So Rati, I guess it's Rati or Samosar Manjari, she goes there, she removes. And when she removes, behind the curtain, she discovered the darkness of night is there.
Oh, no.
So she turned toward Radhanani and she said, shall I remove the darkness of the night also? And Radhanani becomes very upset because that she cannot do. So she decides to close her eyes. But when she closes her eyes, inside she sees everything blue. So she just, I'll just melt into tears because she cannot see something else than Krishna everywhere. This is why she is called Krishna Mayi. That blue color. And outside she is golden. So these are the pastime of Radha and Krishna. This is only about love. There are so many novels, so many news, so many things, topics in this world. But we have to understand, we must withdraw ourselves from these topics and absorb ourselves in the pastime of Krishna and Radha. Because we will not have the time to do both.
Yeah.
Our life is short. We will not have the time to do both. If we become absorbed in the topic of this world, then we will not have time to become absorbed in the topic of Krishna. But we have to become absorbed. Yoga means absorption. Krishna Mayi Radhani, she is the topmost yogi, you know. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmanam shratavam bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mata. Do you think this verse is speaking about who?
Radhani.
Krishna is speaking this verse about Radhani. Because he says, same yukta tamo mata. That person is most connected with me. So this is Radhani. Madgatena antaratmanam. Who sees me outside and inside himself.
Wow.
This is the sixth chapter, last verse, 47. Man mana bhava man bhakto manyaji manyamaskuru. This is also again Radhani.
Madhita Madhyata Priya Putayantas Parasparam. This is also Radharani and the Gopis. Krishna is always only speaking about the Vrajvasi in the Bhagavad Gita. Shiva Goswami revealed this. Because actually when he sees this, because he knows that reality, so inevitably when he speaks this verse, he thinks about that. We don't know. So we think he is speaking about the yogi, and Prabhupada presented us in that way, because this is also true. There is different level of reading in the Bhagavad Gita. Jiva Goswami's reading is revealing that. Actually, when Krishna said this, when Krishna said, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yanamam upayantite, I will give them the intelligence by which they can reach me. Jiva Goswami said, actually, Krishna is giving to the gopi the intelligence of which path to take in the forest. Because how they can know where to reach him. So Krishna is in their heart giving them the intelligence which path to take in order to reach where he is in the middle of the forest. This is Dadami buddhi yogam tam. So this is because Jiva Goswami is member of that plane of Raj. He sees also what Krishna means. You can see. So we have to become fully absorbed in Krishna. In this we are following the example of Radharani. And we can do this only by taking shelter of her. She is our Ashraya Vigraha, the deity to whom we take shelter. This is why we chant Hare before saying Krishna. Actually, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if you look, the meaning that Srila Prabhupada gave us, this is, oh Radhe, oh Supreme Energy of the Lord, please engage me in the service of Krishna. This is the meaning. Hare Krishna. We call Radharani, please engage us in the service of Krishna. So the Maha Mantra is calling for Radharani, taking a shelter of Radharani through this chanting. So today is the day of her appearance. We have to understand that the Supreme Path who will lead us to attain her divine service in the spiritual world and thus become ourselves also an embodiment of love in their service and attain spiritual body to serve them is to take shelter of her lotus feet. This is called Radha Padashraya, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radharani. Normally on this day of Radhastami we can see the feet of Radharani, but it was not in the morning darshan. Maybe in the evening we will see some temple they are doing, some temple they are not doing. Last year in Montreal they were not doing on day of Radhastami. And I was very sad. Oh, this year I cannot see the feet of Radharani. But somehow or other, the devotee, they asked me to go on the altar to do some service. So I went there and I looked at her feet, because the first thing I do when I enter the altar, which is not written in the deity book, but I have learned like this from my god brother, I touch the feet of Prabhupada and our Acharya, Chaitanya Nitai and Radha and Krishna. I touch their feet. Then after I do my service. So I happen to see her feet by some mercy. So today we are taking shelter of Radharani. Please, whatever happened in this world, give us the shelter of your lotus feet. Please there is this verse saying, may you carry us on the boat of your mercy to the shore of your lotus feet.
Wow.
So we are praying Radharani. Whatever we want, we don't mind what will happen in this world, but we want that internally we will reach your lotus feet. One day you will appear in our heart, and that will be our day. our good fortune. That will be our Radhastami, our appearance of Radharani. Up to that day, we will celebrate Radharani in mood of separation. That today, Radharani has not yet appeared in my heart. But I am longing that one day I can experience that real Radhastami of appearance of Radharani is my on the lotus of my heart. You know Radharani, she appeared in a lotus? You know the story?
No.
Maharaj Vrishabhanu was walking, wandering in the land of Raj, and he heard a baby crying. So he went by the river and there was one lotus, and little baby was inside the lotus. So he took that little child, she was a girl, golden effulgence, and he brought her back home. This is how she appeared in this world. He adopted her, but she had closed the eyes. You know the story. So she appeared in the lotus. May she also one day appear in the lotus of our heart and give us shelter of her lotus feet and the service of her divine lotus feet eternally. This will be attained by the grace of Mahaprabhu. As Prabodhananda Saraswati, Path, the crest jewel of all the sannyasi, wrote in his Chaitanya Chandramrita, Yata yata gora padara vindayor, vindeta bhakti skrita punyarasi, tata tata utsarpita ridyaka smat, radha padam budho, one word is missing, rasi. Anyway, he said, as much as one is offering himself at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with love and devotion, to that much, to the same proportion, it will be transferred into the nectarian waters of the ocean of love emanating from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So how to attain the lotus feet of Radharani? By offering ourselves to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu is Radharani, combined with Krishna, who came both together in this combined form to offer themselves to us so that we can reach them. Otherwise it's not possible. And this is also Mahaprabhu is approachable by through our acharyas, the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Gaur Piya Janas and Srila Prabhupada. So may they all today be merciful upon us and carry us on the boat of their mercy to the divine lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, which will transfer us to the ocean of emanating from the divine lotus feet of Radharani. And for this, they have given us this mantra, this Hare Krishna mantra, which is the mantra to take shelter of Radharani, take shelter of her mercy, take shelter of her lotus feet. This mantra is no different from her. So when this mantra is entering our ears, entering our heart, so she is starting to appear in our heart in the form of sound. Once I was sent to serve in a temple where there was no deities of Radha and Krishna. No. So I said to my spiritual master, I'm feeling sad not to be in the presence of Radha. He told me, don't be sad, she is there also in the form of her name. You have the same benefit actually, because she is there in the form of her name. And I remained many years in that center. So I had my deity of Radharani was her name.
So like in the temple of Krishna Balarama?
That's another topic. Jai, Shishi Radha Govinda ki jai. Shishi Gauranitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Odhya Sambal Devotee. Jai. Shri Prabhupada, jai.